Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Wednesday, May 26th, 2021. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or in the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever discovered in my almost 47 years of living life and doing therapy. And these tools are gratefully available absolutely free at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the red and white bullseye or the link in the upper left-hand corner of most pages that says Start Here, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is known as the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. It's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 16 years to improve the quality of my life and relationships, manage my emotions, and turn any negative emotional state into part of the infallible guidance system that we've all been given. You can also just click and download the actual tool itself. It's a PDF file. Print it off and use it as often as you'd like. You can download a whole host of audio files of shows like this one where people have been stepped through that process or given testimonials about it, how the active application of that tool is improving their life. Or you can go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, and get access to a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. And we hope you do that soon and often, because that will usually spark some questions or comments, and then give us a call. We're here in our current format 2 hours a day for the past 2 years, 5 days a week. Prior to that, for 8 years, we were here 1 hour a day, 5 days a week. If you call the number, 563-999-3581, and press 1, it'll put a little question mark by your phone number, and I'll announce you by your area code. This year, we're also working through the Course in Miracles workbook lessons, and today is the 146th day of the year. So this is a review again, a review of lessons 131 and 132. It begins with the statement, as all of these reviews do, the reminder that my mind holds or contains only what I think with love, with creation, with God. Lesson 131 says, no one can fail who seeks to reach the truth. 132 says, I lose the world from all I thought it was, or I loose the world, meaning I loosen my belief. I set the world free from all that I thought it was. We're also working with Pam Grout's book, The Course in Miracles Experiment. Her lesson 146 is titled, Swimming Wildly, Joyously in the Now. She quotes J.D. Salinger as saying, I am kind of paranoid in reverse. I suspect people of plotting to make me happy. Pam reminds us, only love is real. And she reframes the two statements review lessons for today. Failure is not an option, and I give up all masks and costumes. Pam writes, the world I see is my perceptual interpretation. But as the Course reminds me, perception is learned, selective, unstable, and inaccurate. Robin from my Possibility Posse told a wonderful story that speaks to this truth. Robin and her daughter were on the turnpike and noticed a bumper sticker on a big truck ahead of them. You've seen the bumper stickers with the mom, the dad, the two kids, and the pet, right? Well, this bumper sticker said, meet my family, and portrayed a series of guns from pistol on up to gigantic artillery cannons. Robin and her daughter looked at each other, rolled their eyes, and like I would have done, made a judgment. Robin pulled up to the toll booth behind the truck and reached for her wallet to pay her fare. The toll booth operator stopped her. Put your money away. The truck in front of you paid for your toll. So today, let us look past our perceptions and judgments and lean toward one another and cherish all magnetic nudges toward inclusion. Let us put our perceptions and judgments away and lean toward one another. So that is the Course in Miracles lesson from the workbook, lesson 146 as a review, and the Pam Grout Course in Miracles experiment lesson. So, our call-in number is 563-999-3581. We have 52 minutes. This is a Wednesday. We had our support group last night. We listened to a Guy Finley lecture, talk, presentation, whatever you want to call it. And everything is, if Michael were here, he'd say, everything's rocking and rolling. I want to thank Ellen for her suggestion from yesterday that I reach out to Dr. Gail Brenner. Gail is going on vacation, but wants to talk, and we'll be back in the middle of June, and we'll set up a conversation to see if we think that's a good match. And if you know somebody that you think would be a good person for me to interview, you can give me a call and just shout it out right now, or you can send me an email at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. And or you could email Jeannie at jeanie@yagain.org. And especially if you're listening to this through the archive, we are gladly accepting suggestions, recommendations. Hopefully tomorrow I will have an interview with Dietrich Wolsack, who has a process very similar to Dr. Michael Rice's. He calls it the Choose Again 6-Step Forgiveness Process. And that was sent in, that was recommended to me by a listener who was listening to some YouTube videos of Dietrich and thinks that we're very similar in our speech patterns and presentation of the principles. I just finished an interview this morning with Dr. Andrew Pleener, Pleener, and he is the founder of the Same Here Psych Alliance. And if you want to help somebody who has mental health issues, You can go to journeysdream.org and look around there for resources, or you can go to Same Here Global, S-A-M-E-H-E-R-E global.org, all one word. And there's a beautiful, powerful website. And the idea is the recognition that while statistics might say only 1 in 5 people suffers from mental health issues, that means 1 in 5 people have gotten a diagnosis in the system that's out there now, in the conventional system. But the fact of the matter is every one of us either has issues that are borderline for that kind of a diagnosis, or we live with people who are somewhere on the spectrum of struggling, and they've put together an app for schools and teachers where they don't wait until the crisis hits, and the app has people rate themselves daily, moment to moment if need be, on the scale from thriving all the way down to sinking. And the options are thriving, gliding, surviving, fluctuating, struggling, and sinking. And it's color-coded with the various emoji faces on them. And there's an app to download for students and one for teachers. And the idea is to keep a much more conscious, active assessment going of how am I doing? Kind of like we would with our physical body. Am I hungry? Am I thirsty? Do I need to go to the bathroom? Do I need a nap? Do I need to go to bed early? Should I take a shower? All of these things that we monitor and regulate on a very regular basis for our physical hygiene, and yet we do almost none of that for our mental, emotional hygiene. And Dr. Michael Rice has been talking about this for decades. You shower, you know, every day or every other day. You eat on a regular basis. You do all kinds of physical monitoring and adjusting for comfort and good functioning. Why not use the tools like the reality management worksheet, the mind goal management sheet, the breath work, the mind shifter journaling tool, to clean up the garbage in your system, to keep yourself functioning at a higher level, to make yourself fit for living a healthy, loving, joyful, productive, creative, flowing life. And we advocate that here. We see the benefits of it in ourselves. We suggest people do that in our support groups. We suggest that's basically why we're having this podcast radio show, that we are trying to encourage people to stay on top of the assessment and then the application of tools to adjust and clear up your mental, emotional, and spiritual body. In one of Michael Rice's talks, he talks about the title of the talk is Purpose, Personal Power, and Commitment. And he says, everybody has the same primary purpose. And that is to develop and strengthen what Michael calls a viable, conscious, spiritual body. And, you know, this is the ancient wisdom that you're not just a hunk of protoplasm. You are a lot more than just the physical body. You have the mind that you think from, express from, and emote from will never be found on an autopsy. Right? And there are some people in the scientific realm who want to argue that consciousness is simply the byproduct of random neural firings. But there are people who used to believe that and who've been neurosurgeons and have been through what Michael would call a near-life experience or a near-death experience where the physical body and the brain are offline. And they come back and say, hey, that's not true. You are not just, your consciousness is not just the byproduct of random neural firings. And Eben Alexander is one of those people, and he wrote the book, well, you'll find it right away. It has something to do with the word heaven in it. And he was a brain surgeon, and he knows, and he believed the party line from the scientists, which is it's all a physical system, and your consciousness is a byproduct of that physical system, and that there is nothing beyond the physical. And he had an infection that wrapped his brain in infectious material, pus, his whole brain, as far as any knowledge from the medical field could determine, was completely dead. And they said, they put him in a coma and try to treat him with all these antibiotics, and they said, you know, his brain is so far gone that even if he survives, he's just going to be a vegetable. And I believe he was in that coma for 7 days. I might have be misspeaking a little bit, but it was not 7 hours kind of thing. And he had this very specific, very intense experience, and he came back, and he survived, and now he lives, and he thrives, and he lectures, and he's written his book about it. And I think it's Proof of Heaven is the title of that book. And he had to change his mind because he had the evidence of his own personal experience that demonstrated to him there was a lot more going on here than just the physical or the byproduct of the physical effect of neurons firing. So Dr. Michael Rice has been trying to tell people that for decades. Your purpose for being here is to wake up to the fact that you have a spiritual body and then work at developing and strengthening a viable, conscious spiritual body, to be consciously aware of the processing that goes on mentally and emotionally. And the more you learn about it, the more you learn to tune into it and stay awake and aware of it, the easier it is to work with it, make sure it's functioning at a high level, make sure it's getting the time, intelligence, money, and energy it needs to be functioning at a higher and higher level. And that's what all these tools are about. And I was talking to an integrative psychiatrist, Dr. Andrew Pleaner, and that's their purpose, is to educate people to the fact that mental and emotional hygiene should be something we teach beginning at the same time we're teaching kids to wash their hands and face. And it's, there are tools, there are very good tools that are beginning with the breath and moving into energy work with the EFT tapping and Qigong, and the list goes on. And you can see some of those experts. They've got, and the same here, global.org website. And they've got a lot of high-powered people on board to try and help spread the news about what are the tools that are most effective to help us become aware of, build, and strengthen a viable, conscious, spiritual body, one that works, and they wouldn't use the term spiritual body, but an emotional, a mental-emotional body. And it's exciting that there are more and more people that are doing this, and there are more and more organizations that are marshaling resources and networking with other organizations. So with some luck, that interview might be published next Wednesday, Tuesday. If not, it'll be a week from Tuesday. And the beat goes on. And I think I mentioned yesterday that at the end of the podcast or show that there was a podcast posted yesterday on the On Your Mind podcast for Jurity's Dream, where one of the founders, Mitzi, did an interview with me. So if you want to learn a little bit more about me and how I got into this work, that's available. JourneysDream.org/podcasts. And yesterday's podcast was an interview with yours truly. So what's exciting in your life? What can we help you with? What's a suggestion you have for us? Dr. Gail Brenner is not going to be available for a couple weeks, but hopefully that will turn into another good interview. Susan, welcome. What are your thoughts today?
Hi, Dr. Tim. Well, I'm flying a bit high because we just had our Zoom group, and one of us was reluctant to start working because she was so tied in knots that she thought she would totally lose it, which is ideal for doing a worksheet. And we did it, and it was just a thrill to see how willing she was and the insights she had. And I have to say, the forgiveness patter is what, it's just what takes us to the level we need to go to get to an enlightened goal the way we did. And so I've been using that, and we stayed a long time in it, actually, and she kept having one memory come up after another, and although she had mentioned some of those memories before, in the context of the goal and the trigger that she had, the connections were new, and I thought that was remarkable, that you can have a memory that's been sitting there for ages and it's old hat, but in the context of a worksheet, suddenly a connection is made that most of us would probably think, well, you know, that's probably been made before, but she completely went from a 10-plus upset, is what she said, down to no upset, just feeling incredible peace and relief and ability to go forward. Now, I had just watched that film you're talking about life after death and the amazing testimonials and comments in there. And I sent it to them, but this particular friend has had lupus for years. And she kept talking about loops. She gets into these thought loops, and I thought, oh, my God, she has a disease that's actually named after what she's doing with her thinking. And I mentioned that, and she said, you know, the lupus society that I belong to actually talks about lupus loops. But I never thought of it in context with the repeated thought patterns and trouble I keep getting into in my family. And she's got a wonderful family, and she's done amazingly well. But she said loops and lupus, oh my goodness. And I told her about this film and how our thinking can make us well or ill. And of course, that's an invitation to feel as if you're terrible, if you're sick, you know, you're guilty. I hope she won't go there with that. But the connection is amazing. And that's the most gorgeous film. I hope it's up on the, I haven't checked, up on the websites, all of them. Eben
and,
Alexander.
So this is an Eben Alexander documentary?
This is the one you were, I thought you were talking about it. It's, I forget the name of it.
His book is Proof of Heaven.
Right. I'm not talking about that, though. It's a documentary that is new, I think. Michael sent it around. Let me find, I thought you were talking about it just now on the radio show, but I was still winding up the Zoom meeting. Who We Are is a documentary called Who We Are. Do you want me to send you the link?
Sure, that'd be great.
Yeah, okay. Fantastic. And he does narrate part of it, but it has a lot of, Bruce Lipton speaks on it. An old man who I wonder if it's Keating. I don't remember the name of the man who speaks, a very wise older man. Lots of other people. There you go. Okay, I'm just pasting it in. There you go. Okay, it's just coming. I just wanted to, this is sort of a testimonial of how exhilarating it is to see someone do their work, have the release. I felt as if physically I was being lifted out of tightnesses and, you know, various things too. Kim Bingham and I were running it together, and it was just amazing. So I think the forgiveness patter sheet, you probably use it all the time, and it should be included in the worksheet as part of it. I know it makes it a lot longer to do that.
Yeah, that's one of the things that Michael has said for a lot of years, is that if everything that we think should be in the worksheet would be in it, it'd be 6 or 8 pages long. So,
right.
However,
okay.
I agree with you. That is something that I do, even when I'm doing them on my own, when I'm doing it with the app, I use that forgiveness pattern as the key to unlocking things. And it's that forgiveness pattern that Matthias in Germany found to be so similar to Diedrich Wolsack's work. And so it is a lovely key. I'm glad you find it useful. And I'm right with you when you're talking about the energy. It makes me think of the line from Course in Miracles that there's no place as holy on this planet as a place where an ancient hatred had become a present love.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that pain, that 10-plus pain is, you know, it's a detestable situation for us to live in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a wonderful part of the warning system, but it isn't something we want to stay in forever. Like, we don't want to stay in fight or flight long term, because that's not how our bodies were designed.
Yeah. She said she hadn't slept well last night, and she had been in deep upset for 4 days and almost didn't come to the Zoom meeting because she didn't feel presentable enough. Oh, I'm thanking God she did. And also, she's a friend, and we've done worksheets over the phone. So that's another thing I love about it, is you don't have to be a psychotherapist. Anybody can do them. Just be there with the other person and say the steps and use the patter sheet. And she had hydras going so soon, though. I must say, she named 5 different feelings she had, and I said, pick one, and she did. And then she jumped way soon to an enlightened goal, and I said, no, go back and be in the mess for a little while longer. Go back to the anger. Go back to the situation. You've just jumped over it, and you haven't helped yourself yet. And she said, oh, all right, I don't really want to go. I said, go there. We're with you. She was terrified. So, but anyway, I'm just full of energy and so happy about this thing today. So I don't have much more to say about that.
Well, that's all right. That's lovely. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's one of the core reasons that out of all of the various things I've been exposed to through my doctorate training, et cetera, that the reality management worksheet, Dr. Michael Rice's work, Jeannie's work, 3 Early Memories of Conflict, the Mind Goal Management Sheet, the reason I have donated thousands of hours of time to this work over the past 16 or 17 years is because of the accessibility that you're mentioning. You do not have to be a licensed therapist. You do not have to be a medical doctor. You don't have to have decades of training to do what you're doing in that support group. And we've had people that, you know, you waited a few years before you started your support group. Michael's had people come and learn the worksheet process and start a support group that same week. And, you know, you won't be as good at it in your first week or two as you will in your 15th or 16th year, But you're already doing the work of facilitating, of sharing, of being part of the community, and helping people become aware of this enormously powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tool that's absolutely free.
Totally.
And it's life-changing. It's life-changing.
Well, as you say, you can do it after 1 week, but my training was with you guys doing the worksheet and having you say, wait, don't go there. That's a hider. Write that down. That's a different worksheet. Keeping us on track. You can get way off track really fast. And that is one of the key things, is to keep the focus fairly narrow to do one emotion or one thought or one goal and keep it that simple. That's just having done them with you was my training. And I'm thinking anybody who's listening, you could hang out a shingle after a while, and you don't have to have any, a lot of letters behind your name, but you can be working with people. It's like a subterranean secret club. Oh, man.
Yeah, except it's not secret. Yeah, it's just wide open and out there and available.
Right. It's just that it's not academically approved or doesn't have to be. You can have, and it's handy to have a degree. It's been very helpful for me to have a degree, but I swear to God, if I had started doing this without a degree, I'd be doing these worksheet groups anyway, these Zoom groups. Anyway.
Yeah, it is. It's been a huge blessing in my life to have access to these tools, and I've had that same kind of excitement to be around. I've told people for a lot of years that it's not me that heals anybody or fixes anybody, but the reason I keep doing this work, despite the fact that for many, many years as a therapist, it did not make very much money at all, barely enough to live on. So why do you keep doing it? And I would say, well, because it's an absolute joy to be around when someone chooses to get healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's that joy that you're sitting in right now, that awareness of the connection, the potential, the aliveness, and it's happening right now because you were willing to make yourself available, and this person was choosing to get healthy, to face the things that they needed to face to have a different experience of themselves, a more accurate experience of themselves.
Yeah. True. So have you read the lesson? Because I came on a little late.
I did read the lesson.
Okay.
Yeah. The lesson is simply, my mind holds only that which I think with God or the Creator. And the lessons are two reviews today. 131 is, no one can fail who seeks to reach the truth. And 132, I set the world loose from all that I thought it was.
Great.
And the Pam Grout stuff was lovely, but right on target. Just, okay, you can't fail. There's no failure possible. And judgment. She has a little story about some friends of hers that were riding in a car and saw a bumper sticker on a truck in front of them that was about how their the family is guns, and they judged them. And then he paid their toll. And so she invites us to step into leaning into our connection to others and dropping the judgments as soon as we recognize them.
That is fabulous.
I had another really powerful story happen in the therapy yesterday. I had a 34-year-old come in and debilitating back pain and calling off work and can't function. And when he got in touch with the mental emotional stressors that he was avoiding, the back pain evaporated.
Wow.
And it is a very common thing. I don't talk about it on a regular basis on the show, but every once in a while there's one that's so I mentioned one in the interview that I did yesterday, that was published yesterday, and that is, you know, one of the more dramatic ones. When this is, every bit is dramatic. Here's a 34-year-old male who, you know, works with his hands, and all of a sudden he feels like he can't function. And with some exploration of, okay, what are the stresses in your life? What was happening last week? It's just as the look on his face was priceless. I wish the session had been videoed, because it would be a wonderful teaching tool. And it's exactly the stuff that Dr. John Sarno talks about, that's available in the documentary on Dr. Sarno, alltheragedoc.com. He was holding mental, emotional tensions in his body that, you know, were connected to deep unconscious feelings of inadequacy and upset, and as they started to bubble to the surface, his body said, hey, this is not something you should be looking at. Let's get a distraction going. And so here comes the pain in the back and muscle spasming and, you know, not able to stand up straight and not able to function at work.
Mm-hmm.
And when those dynamics shift just a little in terms of awareness and they become accessible, the look of shock on people's faces when the pain that, you know, they're going to the chiropractor, they're going to the massage therapist, they're going to the orthopedic surgeon to try and get a correction for this problem. And
right.
The problem is not a damaged physical tissue. It is what Dr. Sarno would call the tension myoneural syndrome, where my mental emotional tension is held within the musculature or the tendons of the body, and when it's activated, it cuts off the blood flow, and that initiates excruciating pain. And when I get, you know, the release, when I get the clarity, when I get the willingness to face it directly, I don't need the body to hide it from me, and the body restores itself to proper functioning.
You know, in this video that I just sent you the link to, it starts out with a woman saying she had lymphoma, she had cancer.
Anita Morjani. Anita Morjani.
Oh, okay. So you have watched that?
No, I know her book, and I've read her book and done a book study on that. She was in what they would call the near-death experience, or she actually died, and she had these huge tumors. And her book is titled Dying to Be Me.
Oh, wow. That's her book. Okay, I never connected. She speaks very well on this. But I'm thinking to myself, now my friend on the Zoom today has lupus and has had lupus for years. And when she was a young mother, her first child, and the first child happened to be the trigger in her worksheet, who has now become a man and is living at home for various reasons, she feels as if she failed him terribly because she was bedridden with terrible migraines and illness during that time. But here she's got this illness, and I can tell that I don't have the faith in me or the belief in me that if she unearthed the causes a la John Sarno, that she would be healed, nor do I wonder if I should even go there. I don't know what to do with that knowledge.
Well, there's no need to go anywhere near that. Simply present the tools. Right? And there's no way of knowing. We aren't at the level of knowledge with our scientific progress yet to know, is lupus caused by mental emotional issues, or is lupus simply aggravated by mental emotional issues? And so either way, I'm doing myself a service if I pick up the tools and use them.
That's a relief to hear that. Yeah.
And the first interview I did with Dr. Brian Ardis, A-R-D-I-S, he talks about that lupus problem and diagnosis, and somebody that I believe it was his sister who got the diagnosis, and he wouldn't accept it, and he went on to become a doctor, and he believes that he helped her get rid of it. She certainly doesn't have any more symptoms of it, and she went from having to be on all of the medications that they told her would make her so she couldn't have children and she would die an early death, but she would be able to live longer when she had these medications. And his story is that his sister, had a dream, and in the dream, she was told that Brian would help her. So she moved to live near him, and he did the research on the nutritional stuff and all of that, and she now has several children and has no more symptoms of the lupus and isn't on medication. Now, this is not to say that that's a pat solution for lupus, or that the cause of her lupus-type symptoms had to do with the same thing that might cause lupus in somebody else. But the fact of the matter is, there's a lot that can be done that the conventional medical approach will not describe to you, because most of our doctors are not trained in it. Mm-hmm. And that's why it is so useful to go to an integrative or functional medicine professional and learn about these alternatives that our medical doctors are not taught in medical school.
Mm-hmm.
Learn about the interconnection of the systems. Learn about the impact of trauma on our hormonal systems and our systems of inflammation. Throughout the body, inflammation in the brain. I did an interview with Dr. Donald Radin, and he talks about, as a psychiatrist, an integrative psychiatrist, that, or I believe it's a functional medicine psychiatrist, that many, if not most, of the mental, emotional symptoms we experience, anxiety and depression, obsessive thoughts and paranoid thoughts, and are directly traceable to inflammation in the brain. And when you find a way to remove the inflammation, those symptoms fall away, which is a lovely demonstration of the fact that it's not a dis-ease, it's not a disorder or condition, it is simply a pattern of symptoms. And when you go to the root cause and start removing the root cause, the symptoms quite often soften or disappear. So I've had this kind of thing happen before, where I've run into friends or family members or patients, and I talk a little bit about this, and they just groan and they say, "I am just so done with doctors. I'm not going for any more analysis." And I get it, and I say, "Okay, I'm not going to sit there and harangue them or insist that they go to another doctor or try another holistic or integrative or functional medicine approach." And yet, many of the people never even imagined that there was an approach aside from the one their medical system told them about.
Right.
And, you know, the founder of Same Here Global ended up having, you know, his breakdown and then going to a psychiatrist finally and leaving with, I think it was 4 or 5 medications from the first visit. And, of course, it didn't solve anything. And eventually, several years later, he was told, "Listen, you have been on over 50 medications, all the medications we have for you. It's time to go through the transcranial magnetic stimulation and then shock therapy if that doesn't work, and that's going to be, you know, that's your last hope, shock therapy." And he had no idea that there were other options, because he hadn't been introduced to anybody with a holistic or a functional or an integrative approach. And when he stumbled across somebody with the different approach, I believe they said it was a therapist, who started introducing him to things like the breathing techniques and the EFT tapping, and then the idea of nutrition in the body and the gut biome and absorption of nutrients. It was life-changing, and it led to his, you know, launching Same Here Global with the mission of getting these practitioners of these things, from Qigong to breathing techniques to nutritional micronutrition and molecular nutrition, et cetera, orthomolecular stuff, all of these various specialties that have been developing for a lot of years, but in these kind of isolated silos, and really putting some money and some effort into getting the news out there to people. There is far more to do than just take a medication and get warehoused.
Yeah. Well, I would love to look up that book, Brian Artis, the one who deals with lupus, and see if it might be helpful.
I'm not sure that he's written a book, but you can look up my first interview with him at journeysdream.org/podcast.
Oh, great.
The first interview I did is the one where he talked about it. He's talking a lot about acne, and his kids had acne, and he found a cure for it. But he also, in his origin story, is involving his sister and her lupus diagnosis.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And you just made one with yourself as the speaker. How cool is that? Thanks for telling us. Yeah.
Well, that was that's what happens when you run out of exciting people to interview, right? So the comments and suggestions are welcome. I'm reaching out to people on a regular basis, but some are not a good fit, and some of them don't respond, and some of them would like to, but they can't right now. So, you know, if you have a thought about somebody, let me know.
Well, my thought is about Karen Montanaro, but I'm not sure that's a good fit either. I just don't know. So I don't know if you've talked to her. She is home now from taking care of two friends. So
no, the last I heard from you, she was still unavailable because of caring for people.
No, she would be available now. She sent me a wonderful quote, Dr. Tim, and I'd like to read it, if that's okay. It's short.
Sure.
To see another with clarity and objectivity, one first must master stillness. The slightest breeze of judgment or interpretation from the rational mind will create a ripple that shatters awareness and returns us to ordinary perception. That's by Alberto Villoldo. And I can send that to you, too, if you'd like it. But I thought it was just to stop and be still.
Well, and it's what's necessary. You have to let the mind understand that it has a purpose and it is not driving perception.
Yeah. Well, I've got this in an email and it's got a lot of Zoom information in it, but just it's in boldface, so you can separate it out from everything else. I'll send that to you. There you go. Yeah, I've been keeping that in my system, because the command to oneself to just stop and be silent is just the greatest little tool for the trigger reaction. Anyway, I love it. It's very helpful.
All right. So anything else before we turn on our next caller? Microphone?
No, go ahead.
All right. Area code 520, you're in the air. Who do we have?
This is Audrey.
Well, hello, Audrey.
I have a question, which I asked myself.
Audrey? Can you speak up or get closer to the phone, please?
Okay. Can you hear me? I think it's my phone, my cell phone. Can you hear me?
It's quiet. I can hear you. It's quiet, but I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm doing the best. My question to myself is, am I an enabler when I have a friend who, I'm going to use the word victimhood, who presents from victimhood and continually tells the story over and over again, spinning the wheels, but I have given the book and various other ways on the support group, but it continues to manifest in the same word of victimhood. How do I know when to back off? I mean, I can't fix myself. The only thing I can do is use the tools for myself. Now, when am I an enabler as this person keeps telling the same story about the anxiety? And as I listen to it, am I the enabler?
Well, that depends on what definition you're going to give enabling. So I think a more relevant question is, as you listen to this friend, are you experiencing frustration, resentment, sadness, anger, any of those negative emotions? And if you are, the best use of your time and energy is to use the tools to dismantle those negative emotions. The enabling, as a definition, comes into play if I am doing something to help someone avoid the consequences, the natural consequences of their choices. And I don't see how that relates yet in what you're asking about enabling a friend who is anxious and talking to you about their anxiety.
Okay, thank you. You've answered my question. I just do my inner work because I'm finding I'm getting into some areas where I need to do my inner work. And thank you very much.
Well, you're very welcome. With me, the idea is what I use in this work is if I'm finding that I cannot be with that person and stay open and loving, then I give myself space to be away from them as I do that work. And then as I am able to do my work and dismantle my judgment, dismantle my anger, frustration, whatever it is, then I consider spending time with them again. And if they're willing, then we spend time together, and maybe they're still complaining, and maybe they're doing the very thing that I used to choose upset over, as I defined it as being in victim mode, and maybe I can remain perfectly calm and loving. And maybe I remain perfectly calm and loving, and I decide, you know what, this isn't the kind of person I want to spend my time around, because they're spending more time complaining about their problem than they're spending solving their problem. And then I just make a loving choice to move on and choose other people to spend my time with. But
thank
it begins with dismantling my negative emotion, my frustration, et cetera. Well, you're very welcome. Thank you for the call.
Blessings and peace.
Blessings to you. So we have 5 minutes left or 4 minutes left or 6 minutes left, depending upon how you count them. And time for another quick question or a suggestion or of a topic or any thoughts, Susan?
I do have a question. Years ago, Tim's and my teacher, he was a Swami, and we were learning the Hindu, basic ancient Hindu scriptures. we never became Hindus, but we studied the Hindu scriptures. And during that time, I had a powerful experience, a dream that stayed with me for 3 days, and I was in utter peace and a state I've never been in for that long since. I've had touches of it, but I wrote a letter to the Swami explaining what that was, and he looked at me with this glaring look when I met with him, and he said, "I got your letter. I read every word. You must never speak about this." And he had a reason, and he didn't tell me what the reasons were. And I've often wondered, have you ever heard a teacher tell a student who's had an experience like that to do that?
No. And my first impulse is to say, it sounds like just the way you're relaying it, that
yeah.
either he was in fear or his emotion was so intense that you read it as fear.
Interesting.
So I don't know, you know, what was going on with your Swami, but the
mm-hmm.
way you're reporting it, I would guess that at least you read his reaction as fearful, warning, danger, don't repeat this to anybody. And, of course, in this work, we understand that if I have fear come up that's anything other than prompting an immediate physical response to avoid a physical danger, if it's a mental or emotional process of fear, it's my alarm system to let me know, to wake me up to the fact that I'm not seeing things accurately. I'm using my mental, emotional energy to misinterpret life, and I've reached a false conclusion. I've distorted my perception. So the most useful process from that point is going to be to restore myself to clarity, aliveness, joy, vibrancy, awareness of my true nature as love, and then choose again, as the Course in Miracles would ask us to do. But I've never had a student tell me that their teacher said, "You must never speak of this."
Well, you know, it's funny. My conclusion was, you're going to misuse it. You're going to use it to brag, or you're going to, and so I thought, oh, okay, I'll keep it to myself. And I did. I had written it in a notebook, and it's as vivid today as it was then. But I've only told a few people because they told me their experiences. But I thought he thought I would misuse it in some way. Ah, weird. Okay. I didn't sense he was afraid so much as he was rather disgusted that I would have told him that.
So there it is, right?
Okay.
It's a negative emotion. It wasn't fear. It was disgust. Okay. But it's there. It's in the negative realm, and it was in intense. And I'm
mm-hmm.
guessing correctly that's how it impacted you. So, and this is what we know. If it was disgust, that's a negative emotion, and that means his perceptions were being distorted. He was not in clarity. He was not in calm or peace. When he was giving you that admonition, you must never tell anyone this. So,
whoa.
That's our basic teaching. And like Krishnamurti would say, if it's true at one level, it's true at every level. You know, when I say that the process of thought is what causes my mental and emotional suffering, it's not that only some of my thoughts cause my, it's the whole process of thought that's flawed. And so the most useful thing for me to do is question every thought and every conclusion and move closer and closer to that ability to live in the question. Actively
mm-hmm.
questioning everything I think I believe, because that is how I live in relation to the truth of life in the moment. So thank you. We're down to our last 20-something seconds. I will mute you and get ready for transition. As always, I appreciate your questions and comments. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Dr. Kim. Thanks, too.
And I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false.
Hi, Dr. Kim.
Rice.
Thank you. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Have a lovely show.
Yeah. Thanks. Welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. And today is Wednesday, May the 26th, 2021. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael. Hello,
Thank
Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. Delighted that you're here with us. We are blessed today that Aria Rain is with us. You can hear that sweet little voice in the background. And we are blessed to get to engage in this conversation about forgiveness once again. And we're going to talk today from Why Is This Happening to Me Again? About the topic of what the world calls sin. But we're going to give you a different idea than the false ideas that the world has. You know, the Greek language has a certain timbre to it, has a certain way of thinking. And if the man Yeshua, who sourced the ideas that are expressed from the first century Aramaic language in the Greek scriptures today, he'd say, you know, if he sat listening to someone, he'd say, that's all Greek to me, because it is so far out of alignment with the truth of what was taught 2,000 years ago. And so we're going to start out with chapter 13 from Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And what you can do about it. And the chapter title is Off the Mark. If you're reading along with us in the book, we're on page 73. If you do not have a copy of the book, you can usually find one on Amazon or on eBay used. The book is out of print tomorrow. Or you can go to our website, whyagain.org. You can download it freely. So we're going to look at this idea of sin as opposed to the, you know, terrible, awful, evil thing that you've done that you deserve to be, who knows, all the garbage that goes on around it. But this word sin actually is an archery term. And so we're going to look into what it really means. And I'm talking to a character named Richard, who's this recalcitrant kind of fellow that showed up at Heartland, on his third divorce, heading out of town, knowing it was the fault of all those women in his life, and all he needed to do was get away, then everything would be all right. He stops, and we are having a conversation about some of these ancient Aramaic ideas. So we've just finished a chapter on what it means to hold a space of love, to do a love exchange with someone, to get quiet, go inside, find the deepest, clearest love that you can, open your eyes, and extend that love through your eyes to your partner. And so I'm offering him as the opening thought in chapter 13. I invite you to focus, Richard, on holding a space of love for yourself as we talk about sin. Watch what surfaces and be aware of the present moment, your present moment realities. Most of us has bought into sin as something terrible and awful. It is something we've been taught to feel guilty and bad about. Sin was originally meant to be positive feedback. The English translation of the Aramaic word kata is sin. It's an archery term. When you find a target, when you fired at a target and missed the bullseye, the scorekeeper yelled, sin. In Aramaic, it meant you're off the mark. which in practical terms means improper for your energy system or less than your highest and best. It does not mean you're evil, damaged, or should be groveling in the dirt. The simple implication is to adjust your aim. It's time to take another shot, time to do something different in your life. The human energy system is based on love and created in the image and likeness of love. When you put an energy in that is less than what is proper for that system, you defile or destroy it. Engaging only in energies that support your energy system was called living in accord with the law. In the interest of self-preservation, it's good to have accurate feedback and know when you're off the mark or have, quote-unquote, sin. So Richard offers, well, that sure puts things in a different light. And, you know, the whole objective of this work, of everything that we're doing, is to put things in a different light, to recognize these original Aramaic words. And it's interesting that at least five of the world's major religions come out of the Aramaic language, and not because there's anything religious about the language, but rather that in Aramaic, the words accurately describe how this energy system called the human form operates. And if it has been defiled, if it's been filled with energetic patterns that are off the mark, how to remove those patterns, which incidentally is called forgiveness. It's interesting, if you go back to the words of Vladimir Lenin, who is probably responsible for more deaths on planet Earth than any human being in history, he says, if you want to destroy a culture, all you need to do is change the meaning of its words. And so many words, the meanings have been changed. For instance, this simple word, sin. Or, of course, the objective of this whole process we're entering into is to understand forgiveness and to recognize that that word, too, has been changed. That forgiveness has nothing to do with letting other people off the hook because of pain or trauma happening inside of you. Forgiveness is simply the tool which, if you're in pain or trauma, you with which you remove that pain and trauma and free yourself of those energies that are off the mark, quote-unquote, free yourself of sin. So forgiveness isn't about you're going to be forgiven for your sins. That's a total misnomer, and of course it leads people off in a totally incorrect direction, and people begin to do all kinds of things when they don't have accurate definitions of words. So forgiveness of sin is not, you know, this idea, oh, I've been forgiven, therefore I'm somehow pure and holy and above you. It's not. There's nothing in the Aramaic that holds that sort of a context. It's that I can engage, if I recognize that I'm off base, I can engage in removing the energetic patterns that are damaging the quality of my life. And so I remove those offending energies and I engage in forgiveness. It's not that I get let off the hook for it. But if I'm out there looking to be let off the hook and I never remove those energetic patterns, chances are I'm going to be playing out of those patterns again and again and again. We've been tricked. You know, the whole game has been turned backward when it came out of the Aramaic language and was put into the Greek. And so we're looking to bring correction to those Aramaic ideas so that the teachings of this man Yeshua become sensible and fit into the real world in the way he intended them to be fit into people's minds and into people's lives. So that's our objective here, and we're honored and delighted that you're here to be part of the process. And Miss Jeannie, do we have anybody out there in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room? Anything on your mind for today?
No, it's all quiet out here. Nobody has a hand up. Ari's just playing. So. Press one. We got 50 minutes. We got a lot of time.
Yes, we do have lots of time, and we're honored that your ears are here to listen, to engage in this first century Aramaic understanding, and to take tools and put them to work. If you have not yet engaged in the forgiveness process, we invite you to go to our website, whyagain.org, and in the upper left-hand corner, you'll see a link that says Start Here. If you click that Start Here button, it'll open a whole series of links that will explain everything that we've been able to understand from the Aramaic language about forgiveness. And, of course, all of the corollary tools that tie in with the forgiveness process. So go to whyagain.org, click in the upper left-hand corner, and you'll be starting on a journey. You can actually engage in the step-by-step forgiveness process live right there on the website. There's a worksheet that you can do live. You can download any one of several different versions of the worksheet and print them off on your printer and start working on the process. You can also go to your app store on your phone and simply type in the words Heartland, H-E-A-R-T-L-A-N-D, Aramaic, A-R-A-M-A-I-C, forgiveness. You'll be looking at the world's only forgiveness app. And if you download it, you'll be able to engage in that step-by-step. Jeannie's actually designed and created the app so that there are two different worksheets, two different versions, a simpler and the more complex version of the how-to of forgiveness. You can fill them in on your phone. When you complete filling them in, you can just discard them. If you shut the app down, then they're gone back into the digital world. Or you can choose to save them, and we should suggest that you do that as a digital file. You can print a PDF and keep a record of it. So lots of options there, and we're here to create support, to answer questions, to make this process as powerful and profound and simple and straightforward as we possibly can. And if you're out there in listener land, if you're on one of those stations where we can't see you, then you can't communicate with us directly unless you call into the show. The call-in number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number, you'll be listening to the show. And then if you push 1, that'll raise a hand in the control panel, and you and I will be having a conversation. And so we'd love to hear from you. What's on your mind? How have these tools impacted your life? Anything to share on how that's what's happened? Anything that you need support with? Anything you need clarification with the tools? Push 1 and let's say hello. Miss Jeannie, is there anything in your venue that you have any thoughts about for today? Aside from you've gotten the 48 tape series all lined up and ready to rock and roll?
I'm just about done with those. Not totally yet, but by the end of the day, probably.
Huge project.
So,
thank you.
And I am working with, for some reason, the app is not allowing people to save or print their worksheet when they get to the end of it. And so I have someone that I'm working with now in India. So hopefully we'll get that fixed and up and running so there won't be those issues. And
cool.
Other than that, and the news we had on Dad this morning at the doctor's office, so they at least potentially think that it's Parkinson's and that there's a medication that can help lighten up the symptoms, I guess, would be the – I mean, it doesn't cure it by any means, but hopefully we'll get him back a little bit.
Yeah, the doctor was quite hopeful this morning as I visited with him that his diagnosis was accurate, that it is the beginning stages of Parkinson, and they do have a medication that is supposed to make quite a significant difference very quickly for him. So if everybody would hold the space for Jeannie's dad – that will give him a boost. That would be awesome.
And we had
and
a hand just go up.
Oh, great. Let's say hello.
Area code 718, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Welcome. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
My name is Casey. I'm calling from New York City.
Welcome. How do you be? What can we? How can we support you?
Oh well, I heard the show you did with Ben Azadi on
right
Keto Camp. Yeah, it was great.
Yes.
So yeah, and I was interested in it because I have asthma, and part of the title was about breathing.
Yes.
But it ended up being, yes, partly about breathing, but more about forgiveness, which I really appreciated.
Right.
I went through a pretty bad divorce a few years ago, and I'm still trying to forgive. So I tried some of your techniques this weekend, just breathing through the anxiety that I feel towards the divorce.
Right.
And it seemed to help. I haven't filled out the worksheets yet or downloaded the app, but I'm going to do that. But I was just kind of curious as to, you know, the next phase or the next steps.
Well, downloading the app and starting to look at the forgiveness process, and on our website, there's lots of instruction about how to fill out that worksheet. There are at least 20 different radio shows where either myself or Dr. Tim Hayes, who does the first hour of the show, where Jeannie had walked somebody through the forgiveness process. And you can take that, and I mean, you'll just see some dramatic changes. I identify with the asthma. I was my father was called the night I was being born and told that if he didn't get to the hospital, he would not see me alive, because asthma was going to take my life from me back then at my birth.
Right.
And for the first 25 years and it was actually my motivator, was asthma to start looking at healing and understanding what the healing process is like. And now, many decades later, my lungs are healthier than they've ever been in my life as I continue to work with the process of forgiveness and, you know, clean up the emotional energetic patterns that I've loaded into my own tissue structure without realizing it. And
right.
So as you start to apply forgiveness to hostility, fear, sadness, grief, loss, then you'll find that those energetic loads will just start to be lifted and disappear. And, you know, my experience was such a significant change in my lungs that I've actually... You know, when they do a so-called health fair, usually disease fair, where they, you know, convince people about all sorts of diseases, I've done that more than once, and they've checked my lungs and been like, wow, you have a great lung capacity. And then I tell them my history, and like, well, let's check again. That couldn't possibly be right. We must have made a mistake. So I hold the space that as you take the tools and use them, you're able to take the load off of your lungs, whatever that energy is about. And again, in context of our introduction, the word that would be applied in Aramaic would be to lift the energetic patterns, the sin, the energies that don't belong, off of the tissue structure. You realize that the mind is functions through every cell in the body, and everything that we engage in energetically is stored in the tissue structure. Wherever there are energies stored that don't belong, that's where our diseases show up. It isn't disease as something that's out there to get us, but rather that when we put an energy into any part of our tissue structure, we put a load on it and inhibit its performance. And as you lift that load, it tends to go back to higher levels of health. So we'll hold the space and look forward to supporting you as you engage in the forgiveness process and starting to look at that.
Well, excellent. Thank you. I was wondering, did you have any sort of time frame from the time you started this process to where you completely got rid of your asthma?
Well, you know, that we're so individual, and you know, what, how deeply am I willing to engage in the process, and how, you know, how much time am I willing to dedicate to it? I couldn't really offer a time frame, and I'll offer that I still have from time to time a challenge with my lungs, but nothing like, you know, the first 25 years where I didn't go anywhere without, you know, breathing support. I literally live on an inhalator, and I haven't used an inhalator in several decades. But I won't say that I'm 100% complete with asthma. I still have some lung challenges from time to time, and, you know, each time that happens, I look at, okay, what's the next level of my work? What do I need to clean up to let this energy go?
I see. Okay, well, I look forward to working the tools that you guys have available.
Yeah, well, go to the website, the upper left-hand corner, start here, and download the worksheet process and start to build the brain cells. And, you know, there are many different radio shows where there are sets of instructions for using the worksheet, the actual forgiveness process. And each one, you know, they're live shows, just like, you know, I mean, if you had were a little more acquainted and you were ready to work with an issue and jump in, we might walk through a worksheet. And each of those shows, that's exactly what we've done. So each one has a different timber to it. Each one has a different person with a different issue. And so each one refines the understanding of the forgiveness process a little more. And as you build the brain cells and build your understanding of it, we'll look forward to supporting you and working through it.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely delighted. Blessings.
All right. Take care.
All right. Blessings. Bye-bye. Yeah, and the interview that the gentleman was talking about, Ben Azzotti, A-Z-O-T-I, if I remember correctly, is a fellow who has a podcast called Keto Camp, K-E-T-O-K-A-M-P. So you can look up that interview. It was about an hour interview that I did with him back a few weeks ago. And so delighted to hear from you. Call-in number is 563-999-3581. How can we support you? What's on your mind?
We have a hand up.
Great. Let's say hello.
Area code 480, you're on the air. Who do we have?
Hi, Jeannie. Hi, Michael. This is Cecilia in Phoenix.
Hey, welcome, young lady. How are you?
Actually, I'm fine, you know, and it wasn't COVID. I told you that. And
glad to hear that. And it sounds like it was still pretty heavy duty, and you've really had to dig in and do your work.
Yes, I'm doing my work a lot. I had to go to an integrative biological oral surgeon, and
dentist.
She confirmed that it was a cavity that became an infection.
Right.
I've been doing my work really a lot. Like, my whole mind is focused on it 24/7 on doing
right.
my work. And I love it. I love the fact that I imposed all of these thought disorders on me. No one did it to me.
Right.
And so I love the fact that because I did that, I'm also holding a space of love, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit to assist me in healing and keeping love conscious, active, and present, and
right.
Becoming conscious of the subconscious the reasons for all of this. And I guess...
Right, what kind of unconscious dynamics are happening?
Yes, and to gently, I love the word gently. I haven't been a gentle person my whole life, so gently remove what has caused it. So I was working for someone who owns a couple Airbnbs, and that's one of my jobs, to clean it. And I was at his place yesterday cleaning. I lost that tooth. It's an eye tooth from the cavity. And so that's not fun to have no tooth there. Anyway,
right.
So I'm dealing with it. I got a one tooth. I'll eventually get an implant, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, I got a partial that it's just sitting in there right now. So I was working for him yesterday, and he's out of town. He's in San Diego. And when he goes to San Diego, I clean for him. He usually cleans his own Airbnbs. So there's a metal door that has a full glass pane window in it out to this outdoor shower, actually. It's really cool. And there's also a laundry room in that out in that area where the outdoor shower is. And so I know from working for him for 4 years that you have to pull that. It's like a cigar shape handle. You have to pull that in because it's not professionally made. He made it. He's an artist too. Okay. So anyway, so in order to take the bolt to unlock the bolt to get it open, okay, to open the door. So I'm doing my usual pulling the handle thing, and not, you know, enough that I know I have to pull it enough to get the bolt to turn. As I pulled it, I knew I had to just grab the handle and just pull it, you know, it's so that I can pull it in tight. As I'm pulling,
got it.
Opening.
Where are we heading here? I'm not quite getting where we're going.
The handle flew off of the door. It's still in my hand because I had such momentum in my arm to pull that thing. It went flat into my front two teeth. Okay.
Ouch.
It busted up my all my muscles and everything in my upper lip. It my teeth cut open the inside of my lip, and I rushed myself to my biological dentist, and she took X-rays and said, she said, it's your teeth aren't going to have to, you're not going to lose them, but you have to not have activity. It's so incredibly swollen and you can't finish the job. You can't clean for him tomorrow. You cannot do anything because that's where the tooth, that neck tooth.
Need to take care of yourself.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
So my question to you with that is, I'm doing this work. Why is all this stuff happening? I mean, I can't even believe that I'm doing work, you know. I'm 24/7. I'm not trying to say I deserve it, but I deserve being, okay, I feel like, so what I came up with is, listening to my intuition, is I have a part inside of me that has actually wanted to kill me my whole life, okay?
That's a pretty heavy-duty thought.
Well, it is, and I was very suicidal a lot of my life, just to end the pain of growing up in a family that I did and not knowing how to deal with it. And so,
let me ask a question. So
sure.
Do you tend to find yourself in situations where you hurt yourself often?
I have my whole life. I attracted men who abused me horribly. I attracted them, okay? They had their own mission, but, you know, that's their business.
Right.
Are you there? Oh,
I'm here. Yep. You're loud and clear.
So,
and so my offering would be that it sounds like it's time for you to let go of self-punishment. You know, you might want to dig out some worksheets.
The most amazing thing happened. As I told you in many calls, my father molested me. My grandfather was a pedophile and molested me. And I did worksheets on that. And so I had this, my mother told me it was my fault. We already discussed that, and that I'm a whore and I'm a slut and I'm a you know, whatever, prostitute and la, la, la. And so I eventually took on that role in relationships, okay? So, you know, because I thought that's the only worth that I had, you know, that's the only reason anybody would want anything to do with me. I took the road of being very attracted to strippers, not as a woman thing, but as thinking maybe I could do that for a living because that's all I'm worth. I never did it as a living, but I hung out in strip clubs. I thought of becoming an owner of a brothel. I thought none of these came true for me to do anything.
It sounds like it's time to go to a new level of these thought disorders of you deserving nothing but abuse. And one of the aspects of it, it sounds like, is self-abuse. So I'd be doing some worksheets in that arena and
self-abuse, serious, okay? So anyway, I listened to this raw food vegan psychiatrist that lives here in Arizona back in 2000 when I just almost became a raw food vegan, and I told him the whole situation, that I'm very masochistic and I people run away from me when they find out that I am, guys, and so unless they want to join in the game of abusing me, which is who I only became attracted to. And so he said in this, I saved the recording of it and listened to it about 2 weeks ago, and he said, it's something you need to let go of. And he said, because it doesn't invoke the divine. And when he said that, and I've heard this recording probably four times since 2000, and I couldn't get it. He said, because you always want to invoke. I mean, you're wanting, you know, this masochistic abuse of yourself, and so he said, you need to have the love flow instead, and so you need to let go of the other stuff. And I said, I don't know what that means. What do you mean, let love flow? I mean, I'm listening to myself now in 2000 on the recording thinking to myself, the good thing is I get it now, but I couldn't get it until now. And so he said, let it go. So here's the big thing. Is I call it a fitness pole or dance pole, but actually it's a stripper pole. And I've had it since 2008 when I decided that I was going to teach.
Cecilia, I'm gonna interrupt your story here for a minute, because we're doing a lot of story, but we're not really getting very far.
Okay,
and what I'd like to do
is
help you to get through some of this.
And I took it down out of my house. It's out of my house. I'm so happy that I'm not attracting that. And now he said you need to connect from the heart. And I said to him, in 2000, I don't know what that means, and so I do know what it means somewhat now, and I'm really, really happy that I'm not coming from that extremely damaged place that I was attracting from abuse me to the maximum, you know, to the point of degradation and everything. And so I think my teeth, it's a way to abuse myself, okay? The teeth is when that door handle came into my teeth, and I thought I had lost them yesterday. And I thought, what's going on inside of me? And what came up was there's still part of me that wants to degrade me, okay? Okay?
Yeah. Cecilia?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to ask you to hold your story, because here's what you're doing right now. It sounds to me like you're lost in your story and you're just running in circles with it. It's time to put an end to the circles and put the pen to the paper. You know, remember when we've talked about this process of forgiveness, the process of removal, and that the removal is the removal of the thought disorders that you're engaging in about yourself. And, you know, if they go back to Yeshua, they said, well, how many times do we need to forgive? Is seven times enough? And if you remember, we've said before that in Aramaic, his answer was, no, 77 times 70. And it sounds like you know where your work is, and it's time to simply put the pen to the paper and start to uncover each self-abusive, self-deprecating thought and let loose of them. You know, just move in the direction of letting go of them on still another level. And if you've listened to the show the last couple of days, we've talked about the chapter of the book on holding a space of love and being in that practice of literally bringing love present into your physiology. And I'd suggest that if you weren't listening to the show the last day or two, that you start from 2 days ago, or maybe 3 days ago, three shows back, and start to listen and do that love exchange exercise in the mirror with yourself as you're forgiving. Good, good. So you're on track.
It's hard.
And
it's not easy.
What I do is, you know, take a look at, oh, I have the thought that it's going to be hard. And what you'll do is you'll make it complicated. You'll make it difficult for yourself. So I suggest that you do some forgiveness around that thought that you hold that it's going to be hard for you to do. Take the worksheet out step by step and go through and do some forgiveness around the idea that life has to be hard. And as you start to let go of that, and that it sounds like, you know, that's going to be your 77 times 70 worksheet issue, and that there's where your next piece of work is.
Yes.
I
would
so I'd
really
be putting
like
the pen to the paper.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Just put the pen to the paper and go for it.
Okay, that's
next
all I
level.
Have to say is pen to the paper.
That'd be my support for you.
Okay,
dig
I appreciate
in.
That.
And you know,
thanks.
It's a two-sided project, a process. One side is the love exchange, to really be doing that love exchange with yourself, and the other side is the forgiveness process of removing whatever surfaces in the way of self-deprecating thoughts. And it sounds like they're really in your face big time, and it sounds like you're moving through it. So I'd be practicing letting go of my story. You know, there's a tendency for you to be a little bit stuck in your story and to let go of that story and to move into. In fact, have you used any of the – you have used – now I remember we assigned a while back a mind shifter to you. Would you be willing to take another mind shifter to work with?
Definitely.
Okay. So got your pen handy?
Oh, no. I was going to re-listen to the show. I don't have a pen on me right now.
Okay, well, it'll be in the archives then. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So were you going to say with this? Oh, here's my pen.
Yeah.
What is the mind shifter?
So I work with a mind shifter. And for anybody that's listening to the show, a mind shifter is another tool that we teach. And the way that you use the mind shifter is you take a piece of paper, draw a line down the middle, write the mind shifter on the left side of the page, and then as you write it, just whatever comes, just free flow of thoughts, do a brain dump out on the right side of the page. So Cecilia, the mind shifter that I'd suggest that you work with is, it's easy for me, Cecilia, to hold myself in high self-esteem. As I recognize that I am love.
Okay.
So I take that worksheet and you know, with the what you've said so far and as deep as this issue goes, I'd set aside an afternoon, a morning, you know, where you've got at least 4 hours to just sit and write that mind shifter and then let yourself do a brain dump, write every thought that comes up on the other side. And I think what you'll find is you'll be uncovering some of the thought disorders that you need to forgive. But, you know, turn your phone off, get in your own space so that, you know, you're totally focused on nothing but writing that mind shifter and letting whatever comes up in response to it come up. And then once you're complete, go back and look through what you've written and look at, and you know, you'll probably find yourself putting down on the page some things you've been unconscious of and ways that you've thought about yourself. And those will be the subject for additional worksheets that when you step into them will help you to move through those energetic dynamics.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah.
All right. Well, then we'll be holding a space of love for you, and any assistance and support we can be, you know where we are every day.
Thanks, Martin.
All right. Holding the space for you.
Okay, bye. Thank you.
All right. Blessings. Bye-bye. One of the thoughts that Cecilia brought up was this idea of the Greek word in Aramaic. There's no resemblance to the words Holy Spirit in the Greek language. In Aramaic, the words that were translated by the Greeks as something to do with a disembodied spirit being actually speak of the fact that inside of each of us is this elemental force, a feminine elemental force, and it's like we were each given an assistant for moving through the pain and trauma that we carry. And we can ignore that assistant or that support that is internal to us, or we can invite it into activity. And so Ruach HaKodesh in Aramaic, again, they're the words that were translated as the Holy Spirit, isn't about something to do with the disembodied spirit, but speaks about the fact that there is this feminine elemental force inside of you that when you invite it into activity will do two things by definition. It will, one, undo the effects of your errors. Energetically, you'll see all kinds of things shifting in your body and around you in your life as you invite that and develop relationship with that elemental force within you. So undoes the effects of your errors and then teaches you the truth that, you know, we've been taught in our culture so many lies about ourselves, who we are, about other people and who they are, and how to treat ourselves and how to treat each other, that we tend to create all sorts of dramas and traumas within our lives. The truth is, you know, if you go back and hold a newborn child, you will, as you tap into the essence of the newborn, you'll recognize the truth about the newborn is that of love, and that there is a voice for love inside of each one of us. We've been taught by our culture to ignore it. We've been taught by our culture to buy into the hostilities and fears of the world and to ignore that voice and that elemental force that exists in us. What Yeshua was talking about 2,000 years ago was inviting that elemental force into activity and giving yourself time to pay attention to it, to really listen to the instructions that you'll be given. And, you know, the kind of instructions you'll get are just so exact and so right on that as you really start to listen, you'll be amazed. I can remember one of the first times in becoming acquainted with this idea from the Aramaic, and this goes back, well, let's see, my daughter's about 40 right now, so she was probably 2 years old, so this is probably 37, 38 years ago. I was in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and I had been doing a lot of speaking at a center there called Unity, and they had asked me if I would do a Sunday service sometime in the future. It was a couple, 3 months away, and I, you know, said yes. My calendar's clear. I'll be glad to do it. And so they said, well, what's the title going to be? And I simply came up, it was just very spontaneous, and I entitled it Prelude to Prosperity. And I really didn't have a thought about what it was going to be about or, you know, it was just like there was the title on the tip of my tongue, and that's what they published. And literally, you know, a couple of months goes by, it's, you know, Monday or Tuesday, and I'm contemplating, what am I going to speak about next Sunday? Because I don't really have a clue what that's even about. And Saturday night, I still didn't know what I was going to speak about on Sunday morning. And Saturday night, I had a dream. I'd been asking for guidance, and in the dream, I was given a word and a page number in the dictionary. I got up in the morning, I opened the dictionary to that page, and sure enough, that word was on that page. And in it was the whole talk that I was, that I gave that morning. So from when I went to sleep on Saturday night, you know, I'm speaking at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning with no clue what I'm even going to speak about. I'm given such specific guidance right down to a page number in the dictionary. And that's how profoundly available, when we're willing to listen, that which in the ancient teachings was called the still small voice, how profoundly available that will be to you. Of course, you can reject it. You can, you know, not pay any attention, and it will seem like, oh, well, that's all a fantasy. There's no fantasy to it. Literally, there is a power in you that will instruct you. You know, that's the real teacher. I'm out here working to be a symbol of that real teacher, working to provide the tools that literally take each person who engages in these tools back inside themselves to the real instructor, to that connection that each of us needs to make, and to support each person living in relationship with that power within you that literally will, that has literally every instruction you need for what the next step, the next phase of your life is and what your life is really about. So the invitation is to really listen, and each tool, you know, the forgiveness process, there's a step in there for inviting that power to go to work in you. As you do something like the Mind Shifter tool, if you'll just let yourself step in and start writing, you'll find yourself literally writing instructions that will open the next step in your world and where your life is designed to go. And so thank you, Cecilia, for bringing up Ruka Dukutcha, the Aramaic term that was translated as the Holy Spirit, and what it really means. You know, the actuality of it, when you go back to the Aramaic teachings 2,000 years ago, when you understand the words in context, not the Greek misinterpretations, it is so profoundly powerful. It's just amazing. So thanks for the opportunity, Cecilia, to elucidate on that idea a little bit. And Miss Jeannie, we are at the point where we've got about 12 or so minutes left, so we've still got time for conversation. Do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room?
No, it is all quiet.
Well, then it's time for a hand to go up. Let's say hello, somebody. What's happening out there?
We have one up.
Oh, area, oh great.
Area
let's go for it. Thank you.
610, you're on the air.
Hey, hi.
Hey, young lady, welcome.
Hi, when I've been on Dr. Tim, it's hard to get your attention. The ones don't seem to work unless I keep pressing them off, on. So I guess they flash or something. I don't know what your switchboard looks like.
Well, you have Jeannie's phone number, so you can always send her a quick text if
right.
you're trying to get through. And
right, I could.
We'll make sure to pay attention to you.
I know. So... I have two testimonials. One is that I was about to go for an errand, I got a text from my grandson, Luke, and he said, I'm in a really bad way. Can we talk? And I said, sure. So we talked, and we talked for about an hour and then got off. And then he texted me and said, he had told me that he's broken up with his girlfriend and he's met a girl that he really likes. And this is over a long period of time. In
right.
any case, he said, I'm about to go to work and this young woman that I really like is going to work and I'm having terrible anxiety over it. And I said, how about we do a worksheet? How much time do you have? And he said, I have about an hour. And I said, well, we can do it as fast as we have to. So, man, was he ripe and ready. And he had wonderful
awesome.
Insights. And he felt as if he was well enough to go and just allow the girl to be who she is and give up the goal of having her focus on him, like him, all that stuff. And he said, I'm just going to do that. I said, just do it for this afternoon. If it seems like too much for afterwards, just go to work and watch her, ask her questions about herself, be curious, observe, breathe. If anything comes up that doesn't feel right, stop in your tracks, breathe and observe and allow. And he just texted me and said, she asked me if we could get together. He's in ecstasy. So, Michael, your tools are fabulous, and they're fast acting. Much faster
than Well,
that's
than awesome himself. that he's in such willingness. I mean, congratulations, Orb.
Yeah.
For your persistence with him. I mean, you've done years of work with him to support him getting to this place, and wow, what a great report.
Yeah, and he said, thanks for being in my corner. And I said, Luke, I've always been in your corner. I'm always here, and I'm telling you. And he said, I want to go down on my meds. And I said, well, I'm down on all meds. I don't take meds except once in a while, a little Xanax at night if my brain is going too fast. But from where I was, this is amazing, and it's the tool. He said, I want to do that. And, of course, he wants to impress her. So he's running every morning, doing push-ups whenever he can, eating a great diet, nothing like a girlfriend on the horizon. Boy, oh boy. And the second
a great motivation.
Yeah, I know. Second is we
Sweet.
Just had our Zoom meeting, and I reported to Dr. Tim of the huge, exhilarating Zoom meeting we had where one of the women in the group said, I don't even know if I should come on the group. I'm such a wreck. And I said, this is just where you ought to be. You want to do a worksheet? And she said, I don't think I dare. And I said, okay, let's start one. And she did a beautiful worksheet and went from a 10-plus upset to zero upset. She had a complete reversal and was ready to face a relationship that's been troubling her with her oldest boy. And it was just another, I just want to tell you, these tools are so good. And I don't have anything, I don't have a question or anything. I'm still riding so high off the fact that she did all that work. And Tim Bingham and I just went, okay, go to the next one, fill that in. All we had to do is keep her on track, sort of like what you were doing with Cecilia, because this was
right.
a hydra times a hydra. And I said, all
right,
let's right. stick to one feeling, one thought, one goal. And then she went from the goal right to an enlightened goal. And I said, nope, back up. Go back to the immediate goal. You haven't done enough processing. And she said, okay. And she didn't want to face that goal that she had. Didn't
I hear you.
It, but did. And came to a much better enlightened goal, which is she just emailed me and said, I feel like a new person. And now, Michael, she has had lupus for years. And she mentioned
right.
in her worksheet that her thoughts are looping. And I said, lupus and looping. And she said, oh, my God. And I told her. And
Great
her
catch.
Isn't that? And she I sent the video with Eben Alexander and that other woman in it. And
right.
I'd love to work with her on her lupus, but I feel totally ill-equipped. Tim Hayes said the best thing. He said, you don't have to do anything. Just have her do her work.
Be the space and support her.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you've already opened the energy window for her. That sounds like just really profound guidance. Nice work. That's awesome. And,
remember
that you're not responsible for her outcome.
I know.
The good, the bad, or the ugly.
Yeah.
She is.
Right.
She did her work, mm-hmm. and she made the shift. That's awesome.
She did it. But you know what you said in The Course in Miracles, wake up the love in yourself or whatever, and the love in everybody else is awakened. That's what happened. We were so flying so high at the end of that Zoom. It's like Tim and I just went down and he said, wow, what happened? So it was just gorgeous. Anyway, I wanted to thank you and Jeannie because you come on day by day by day by day by day by day. And sometimes you have to do a monologue for a whole day or a whole week.
Well,
you're getting results.
I certainly rejoice with you and celebrate with you and just say fabulous work. And, you know, to me, that's one of the other beauties of this teaching is that it's meant for any person to get up and use it for themselves and or support others in it. You know, it's not something that somebody needs a lifetime of professional, training to do. Take the tool and it works. That's all.
It does work.
It always amazes me, and I suspect that with the two situations that you just shared with us, one of the things that always amazes me is when people do the step of canceling the goal, where their minds go and what they get in touch with, just how it spontaneously drops in. And, you know, the Course talks about returning your mind to the point at which the original error occurred. And people tend to think of that as, I have to do some big, deep, dark search. No, just take the moment and look at the goal that's driving your pain perception, cancel it, and bingo, there you go. And when we uncover that stuff, it's so simple and reproducible. Anybody can take it and do it. Of course, as you say, sometimes people don't want to go there. People, sometimes don't want to even be guided to go there. People who pretend, I don't have a power person dynamic in my life. This is all your fault,
All right.
So that's just awesome. Congratulations to both you and Tim.
It was so fun.
I share in your feeling wondrous.
I know. It's so good. And you know what? She was the one who, when I first started the Zoom classes, we were in person at my church. And she took one look at your worksheet, which is crowded, and you have reasons. She said, I can't do this. It's too crowded. I'm an art therapist. This is not art. This is just a mess. I said, all right, okay, hang in there. And now she reads every word, carbon-based memory, replicate memory, and all this stuff. And I said, these are speed bumps. Look at them as speed bumps. You don't even have to understand them. They'll slow you down. So you do the work, and then you'll get to understand what they really mean. And then I use Tim Hayes' forgiveness patter in there, too, to slow us down even more if they seem to be going too fast. And that patter in this case was fabulous. It led her into about 6 childhood memories that were like replications of what was happening with her son that created this goal. So, and she said, I knew those memories. And Michael, this is the true thing. I know we have to end. She said the connection, the doing the work and then connecting it with the memory makes all the difference. I know those memories. I know those memories.
Yeah.
But connecting it with this goal, bam, suddenly it made a difference. And she said
where
she
it happens.
Zero upset at the end. Zero
that's what
upset.
Creates the opening for Rukka to enter and shift the energy.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's what the Course means when it says, return your mind to the point where the original event happened. Again, it's not about looking for the event. It's about canceling the goal that spontaneously allows that return. And as I say, it always amazes me what work, young lady. Congratulations.
Thanks,
the world rejoices. And thank you.
Young man.
All right. Mutual
okay.
Admiration
Thanks,
Society. All right. Blessings.
Yeah, very much so.
Thank
okay.
you, everybody,
you
for
too.
Joining us. All right. Create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye.